Wednesday, Chav Bei Shvat around. This is the ladies' Wednesday afternoon share. And Chav Zaldavos, Shara Yichon HaMaisa. Wednesday, Chav Bei Shvat. I'll be starting in 1 minute. Hang in there.
I knew my glasses weren't that dirty. Okay, so we're learning Chavis Halvavis. Shar Yichud HaMaisa. And as we progress through the Shar, it's going to shift from very more philosophical ideas, conceptual ideas that we've been spending all these weeks on, and it's going to get more and more down to earth, nitty gritty, more like a Musa Sefer, I believe, than anywhere else in the whole Chavis Halvavis. But that's really more Perek Hei, and we're up to Perek Dalet. Because, and the reason is, this is the right place for it. Shar Yichud HaMaisa talks about, he talks about Avodas Hashem on a more down to earth level, and how the Yetzer Hara tries to pull you away from it in this Shar more than anywhere else in the Sefer. So we'll see. We're going to be making that shift. And as I said Sunday night, if you center your lives around this Shir, so I will not be here in 2 weeks. You have enough advance notice to shift around your whole. Now you know what it means. I tell the men have a mitzvah Talmud Torah and a mitzvah Kviyus Itim LaTorah. And Kviyus means a set established time. According to the Mishnah Brura, it really means a set established time every day that's unchanging. You have to pick a time, whether it's 10 o'clock in the morning or 10 o'clock at night. Anyway, but what I tell the men is that the day, it says in Pirkei Avos, I say Torascha Kiva Umalachtecha Aroi. So we all, I think, know what Kiva and Aroi means. And it's not a question of time. Right? If a person has to work for 8 hours a day, he works 8 hours a day. If he has to work 10 hours a day, he works 10 hours a day. You do what you have to do to earn a living. Beyond the living, I remind everybody what we learned in Shar HaBitachon, when Chavis Halvavos talks about earning power beyond necessities. But still, so umalachtecha aroi and tawescha kva. So what that means is that the day has to revolve around your time for learning. Again, I'm talking to the men. Your day has to revolve around the learning. Even if you learn 5 minutes a day, if that's how your life works out, I'm not talking about that what are you learning 5 minutes a day for, you should be learning 3 hours a day. But if someone's life, and there are people like that, I mean, again, people have all sorts of lives, and sometimes a person can't. So you're going to learn 10 minutes a day. I'll say 10 minutes a day sounds more palatable. So, but your day has to revolve around those 10 minutes. In other words, you have to plan and make sure that everything you do during the day will result in these 10 minutes being available for learning. And that's called Torascha Keva Umalachtecha Aroi. Everything will shift and will change and will revolve and evolve based on the Kavua time for learning. So as I said, I'm giving you 2 weeks notice in case your lives revolve around this year. In 2 weeks I won't be here. Actually, I might not be here next week. Who knows? But Bezus Hashem, I plan on being here. I plan on being here. You never know, right? Perek Dalet. So he explained to us what Yichud HaMaisa is and how important it is, and so on and so forth. And what you need to very important, and what you need to be kona it, what you need to obtain it. Avol mafsida Yichud HaMaisa leElokim heim shlosha dvarim. There will be three things that will be obstacles for attaining this madrega. And again, the madrega doesn't have to be perfection. We try a little, maybe a little more, maybe once a day in one action. Maybe we just, it enters the radar. Hey, this was never on the radar screen before, doing the will of Hashem. Even if you're from, it's. I know a lot of from people that I would say I'm quite sure, but how do I know? I can't read people's minds. But I would suspect that Hashem is not even on the radar screen. Echad mehem, so number one is, so these are obstacles to Yichud Hashem. Number one is, Shelo yovenetzo Elokim v'stovaso. He has no concept of Hashem, which says, well, I thought we're not supposed to have a concept of Hashem. I thought it's impossible to have a concept of Hashem. We can't have a concept of what Hashem truly is, but Hashem obviously wanted us to have a relationship with Him, and to have that, we have to have some idea of, I don't say who He is, what He is, I guess is a more precise term, or at least how He relates to us and what He. His midos, Yud Gimel midos, Harachamim. There's a sefer written, I bet you a lot of you have seen it, about how to translate the midos of Hashem, 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 Kel Rachum, B'chanun, Erech Lain, Prophet of Yemes, into our everyday avoda. It's in the Tomer Dvorah. I think it's a famous piece, and how to translate it into your own life. But that's not really what he means. Just the adat is Hashem. We have to have some conception of Hashem. And as we learn through Shara Bitachon and all the other Sharim, Shara Bodas Elokim and Shara Bitachon, we do gain such an idea. Sorry. We do gain such an idea. And it's important. And this is really something, again, that's off the radar screen for most people, even most from people, most yeshiva people, like to know Hashem. But it is possible. If you learn Shara Avodas Elokim, Shara Bitachon, you do gain such an idea. If you learn Chumash, like in a little depth, you see what Hashem likes, what He doesn't like, what kind of world He wants. I mean, if there's a mitzvah v'halachta b'drachav, let's put it simply. If there's a mitzvah v'halachta b'drachav, then we obviously have to be able to know what Darkei Hashem is. Or else, how can we be v'halachta b'drachav? The Es Tovaso is the whole the world of the Chavis Halvavus, that is a primary thing to do, to realize and be thankful for Hashem's Tovos, to realize that He does these Tovos. I heard a nice thing someone told me. I met in the last 2 days. I met, it's remarkable. I met two people in the last 2 days that in talking to them it came out that they consider themselves to some degree a Talmud of Rav Avigdor Miller's Zatzal. And like, because they listen to tapes and they once met him and they once went to a shir and really, one of them told me the following vignette from, I think from a tape. Very, very nice. I liked it. It hits home. Rav Avigdor Miller was talking, as usual, as he often did, about thanking Hashem and being grateful to Hashem that you could see and you can breathe and you can digest food and you could feel and you could everything. And I guess it was Thursday night when people asked questions. So someone asked him, it's very nice in theory, but there's so much tragedy in the world, there's so much sorrow in the world, how can you walk around happy and thrilled and in love with Hashem and just ecstatic about everything, which is required of us to a certain degree. What's required of us is what it says in the Rambam and Hilchos Teshuva Perek Yud, to be madly in love with Hashem, but at least to some degree to always be thankful. And it doesn't mean when you say the words It means always. Not just when you're saying Uvamakalos, Irvavos, Amcho Beis Israel, in case you're scanning your memory. Those words sound awfully familiar. Oh, that's it. You see, the mouth knows when the brain doesn't. So he said, come on. You know, so Rav Miller, so the person told me this. He said, it just hit home. It's such a good answer. He says, okay. That, in his inimitable way, I'm not going to try to imitate him because I won't do a good job. And it'll come across like a bazillion, so I won't. He says, Ad kan divrei ha-yetzahara. Rav Miller starts off. That's what the Yetzahara says. Now let me answer you. Let me explain. He says, let's say you went home today and you found out that you won the lottery and you are the proud recipient of $20 million, tax-free, cash, $20 million. It's going to come in a Brinks truck tomorrow. You would forget about all the sick people in the world. You'd forget about all the babies dying young. You would completely remove them from your... You would be so thrilled and ecstatic and happy, and you'd be dancing a jig, you'd throw a party, you wouldn't know what to do with yourself. And all of those people with the tragedies, they have their proper place. So he says, what I'm trying to teach you is that you already have things that are worth much more than $20 million. You can breathe, you can think, you could see, you could feel. So that's why, that's the only answer you need. That's what he said. Very nice. I'm off topic. Oh, not really. Best told also. Not off topic at all. So step one is to have some understanding of Hashem. And that would, again, it means Darkei Hashem. Maybe it means more, but I don't think that's... You can learn Shaar HaYichud and have like a real sophisticated philosophical understanding to whatever degree a human being possibly can have one about Hashem, but no one's going that far. Darkei Hashem, there was a sefer written within the last 2 years called, like, Knowing Darkei Hashem, something like that. I mean, there's been a sefer written about and it, you know, you can train yourself to understand Darkei Hashem. You learn Chumash, and the stories of Chumash are maybe at times easier to do this with than the mitzvos. And the mitzvos also, again, I say, learn chinuch, and you get to know where Hashem's taking us, what Hashem wants from us. Chinuch is a first step, a most basic step of understanding a possible idea, even behind the mitzvahs. So to understand Hashem and to appreciate Him and to be thankful to Him. If you don't have that, you know, what we would say nowadays, to have a relationship with Hashem. If you're not going to have a relationship with Hashem, then you can't have Yichud HaMaisa. That's the biggest obstacle. How can you devote yourself wholeheartedly and single-mindedly to... And I'm saying something, again, it'll be misunderstood. You can't do it to a Shulchan Aruch. You can't do it to a Mishnah Berurah. You can't. You won't do it. You could follow the rules, and you could be a good follower of rules, and that you can do. You follow what it says in that book, and what it says in that book, and you machmir, and you do all everything, and you do. You can follow the rules, but you won't. You don't have a relationship with a book. Not even with a Shulchan Aruch. You don't. You have a relationship with Hashem. And Yichud HaMaisa is only possible if you feel that Hashem is real, you talk to Him. And I don't mean you have to talk to Him in order to have it. I'm trying to explain. Someone that to whom HaKadosh Baruch Hu is real, He's a real presence in His life, in her life. You talk to Him. You daven to Him, you praise Him, you're thankful to Him. He's real. It's like a real thing. And you're ready. Vahasheni number two is you can't have Yichud HaMaisa if you don't have a knowledge of the details what to do. This is already, yes, the Shulchan Aruch, yes, the Mishnah Berurah. If you don't know what He wants you to do, you can't do it with single-minded, wholehearted devotion to doing His will. You don't know what His will is. Number one is that Hashem is real. Number two is, and if Hashem's not real, number two will not do it for you. You won't develop Yichud HaMa'aseh, at least. You can go through life and you could even like be perfect in rule following, and I dare say you'll go to Gan Eden. I'll let you in if it's up to me. But it's, and that's what the whole Chavis HaLovus is about. And it's, you know, it's harsh words, but it's a pity. It's a pity, and that's not. It's very far from the apex of what a person's supposed to be doing with their lives. It's far from what a person is supposed to be doing with that. Far from the apex of what a person is supposed to be doing. But number two is, and you always come back to this, but if you don't know what his will is, if you just want to, like, you know, smoke weed and, you know, oh, Hashem, I love you, and you don't follow the rules that he set forth, and that's his will. So, you know, so you obviously you can't do his will without, with wholehearted devotion, if you don't know what his will is. And his will is, as they say, the devil is in the details. You heard that expression? So now we're learning Hashem is in the details. Hashem is in the details. And yes, Hashem cares if there's a black dot on the esrog, and Hashem cares how you dress, and Hashem cares about the blia of the milchik pot into the par of a cookie. Yeah, Hashem does care, and that's his will. And if you're not ready to accept his will, to the degree that you know it, or to the degree that you're taught it, or to the degree that you read about it in the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. It's funny, ever since Art School made an English Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, I've become a big fan of the English of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Mm-hmm. Amazing. So if you don't know his will, you can't do his will. That's number two. Shelo yovin mitzvos elokim ves torosa, but I draw your attention to the fact that he chose the verb, well, it's not him. We assume the translator did a good job. And yovin, not just yeda, the mitzvos, but yovin, and that's like, understand what's behind it. Understand, like, what Hashem wants of us, because this is, after all, a sefer that's called Chovos HaLevavos. So he has to understand the mitzvah. Some mitzvahs we don't understand, of course. Some mitzvahs are chukim. And there we understand that Hashem wants us to do his will, even if we don't understand why we're doing it. There's always some explanation of some moral lesson in the mitzvah. You can just open a chinuch and he gives some idea of every mitzvah, that, even the chukim. At the end of the day, even if you're told something's a chok, 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 so you say, okay, the moral lesson is that I have to listen to Hashem, even if he tells me to do something unfathomable. When he told Avram Avinu, that was unfathomable. Right, that was a chok. It was unfathomable. It was a contradiction, l'chora, to something he had been told before. But you do it. Okay, that's number two. And number three is our good friend the Yetzer Hara. Yetzer v'rimizoso la'odam b'meh sheyichabev olam olam hazeh v'yachikeyo miderech olam haba. That's like, that sums it up. That our values are inverted. And they are, you know, I mean, in people's lives, even from people, it's like, this is real, life is real. I have to make the mortgage payment, I have to pay the electricity bill, got to put food on the table, have to pay the tuition, I have to go shopping tomorrow. Like, that's real life. And the mitzvahs and Olam Haba and Hashem is like, so that's inverted. The real world is the world of Ruchnius, and the world we're occupying for a couple of, hopefully, a whole lot of scores of years, hopefully, that's, you know, that's just the prosdor. That's the vestibule.
That's the train taking us to the destination. Here are but the Yetzirah. So, in one sentence, what he's doing is Yechabiv Olam Olam Azeh. This becomes the real world, where we become just caught up in things that are of such temporary value, like so not lemaisa, so petty, so silly. At the end of the day, who cares? What's the difference? Does it really matter? And if your values are inverted, you're certainly not going to be able to develop yichud hamaisa. This is obstacle number three, because if you don't value properly avodas Hashem and put this world in its place as just something we have to do to get by, and therefore we want to minimize it as much as we can, and we want to not get so involved in it, as we want to get involved in it as little as we can, and just use it. We see the Olam Hazeh is like the opposite of Yichud HaMa'aseh. Olam Hazeh, you're supposed to just use it to get by, to live. You have to live. Hashem wanted us to work and to lead lives, and to, so we have to get by. But the Yetzirah flips everything around. Olam Hazeh, it becomes of primary importance. It becomes like a god. And I see it. My experience is men and Talmud Torah. Someone misses a day of work because he had to go to a bris. It's a problem, and he has to make up the work, and he has to placate his boss, and maybe he has to stay late a couple of days to make up for the hours he lost, and that's real. And in learning, you have to go to a chasana, or a bar mitzvah, or a bris, and you miss learning, so, okay, you got a free pass, collect $200, pass, go, you got a free pass. So that's the inversion of values. The learning missed is, wow, you know, something. Yeah. So you have to ask a shiloh if you have to make it up. But you missed something. You didn't get a free pass. You missed something. You're right. And sometimes you are mechuyif to go, and sometimes you're not mechuyif to go. Nobody asks those shilohs, though. Because, what? You're not always mechuyif to go. You're not always mechuyif to go. You got people that run around, they just love. Okay? Anyway, whatever the case may be, it's an inversion of values. I realize this, you know, I think when, you know, again, I speak from a man's perspective, there's a gender gap here. But I realize it's only because I'm talking to a very high class of women. And there are plenty of women out there that could hear this also, because their lives are caught up with nourisher things. I'm talking to, like I said, a high grade. So I can talk about men and Talmud Torah, because that's really hard and really a pressure and really all-encompassing. And you women, Baruch Hashem, I mean, don't tell me differently. What are you doing all day? You're doing good things. I don't see anyone here, you know, just spending their day shopping. I don't mean for food. I don't mean for food. I don't mean for Baruch Hashem. Very, you're good people. Aval Ofani. So, but you know what your lives consist of. I really don't, and you know how to relate what I'm saying to your own lives, as you know, the homemakers and taking care of the children, and taking care of your husband, and you know, taking care of the house. So I don't know, when do you have time to do any averus? Maybe I shouldn't say Shlo Sani Yisha. I don't know. Maybe I was once an Isha and I messed up, and this is my punishment. I came back in a Gilgal as a man.
Okay, now he's going to elaborate on the three obstacles. Avalofani hefseid hasichlus bidaso elokim lemaisa avodahu, the lack of knowledge of knowing Hashem and how that affects your avodahu. But they should call me sheni yodeas adonav. If you don't know who you're dealing with, if you don't know who you're serving, if you have no idea, it's just a name, a word, Hashem, it's just a word. Lo yavdeu b'levavo, you're not really serving him. This, I really can't emphasize this enough. You're not serving him. He says it. You're serving the Shulchan Aruch, you're serving, and you're not doing Yichud HaMaisa. You're serving your neighbors, so to speak, because you want to look from to them. Maybe you're serving your spouse because you want to look from to them. Maybe you're serving your children because you want to be a good role model. But in your kishkes, you don't have what he wants of us, and to develop Yichud HaMaisa, you can be from without it, really. You can probably go to Gan Eden. But to have Yichud HaMaisa, you have to feel, I'm serving Hashem. I'm serving Hashem, and that means Hashem has to be a real presence in your life. A real thing, not just. And the only way you get that is by thinking about him, I don't know, thanking him, being grateful to him. So he's real. He's real, you know. If you thank him, thank you, Hashem, and then you refer to Hashem, and you treat him as like that. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samin, the Rama starts off Shulchan Aruch with. Right? Who, Maila Gadol, Mamalos HaSadikim. Right, doesn't just mean Hashem is always watching me like the security camera. It means that also. But it doesn't mean that only. It means Hashem is here in the room with me when I'm doing this. That's what the Rama goes on to. Hashem is with me. Hashem. Maybe either when I use the thing that way, or you don't know. It's not a chiddush to you because you always think that way. I don't know. Hashem is a real presence, and he's with me, and therefore I could serve him, and I could be grateful to him, and I could do things that are his will, and in my heart I have a Hashem. I have a concept of a thing, of a power, I guess, of a piece of energy, of power. Those, you know, I don't, there's no words to describe it, of an entity. Oh, there's an entity. There's an entity that I am serving, and I want to do his will, and he's here, and he's with me. He's real. If you don't know, I don't know, lo yavdeu b'levavo, and you're lave, maybe you're following his rules, but you're not serving him in your lave if he's not real. Avol yavod mi sheyodea inyano, you know what he's about, you have an idea of, again, like, of what he likes, what he doesn't like, which direction he wants you to take. V'yitochanu mimenu hatoeles v'hanezek, and he's controlling your life. Not that that's the reason that you're doing it, or else, again, you're moving away from Yichud HaMaisa, if that's the reason, but that he is involved in your life, and he is determining what happens to you. It's a degree of reality, right? If Hashem's the reason you missed the bus, then he's real. Hashem wanted me to miss the bus. But someone who doesn't know Hashem, who doesn't recognize Hashem, Maisa, mi Maisa ha'avoda, even if he's from, follows the rules, so what is he thinking? So he's doing it for some reason. Maybe he's doing it for social reasons. He's doing it by rote. He's doing it because that's what he was trained to do. Kavanoso b'hem, and the Chavis Havodah speaks this out. Kavanoso b'hem l'mi sheyira v'yakavim b'bnei yodam b'levad. Maybe a social pressure, business pressure, shidduch pressure, school pressure. Ultimately, maybe just schar v'onesh pressure. But you don't have... Thank you. You know, I want to do your will. Thank you, and I want let me pay you back. Let me express my gratitude. Let me acknowledge that you give me everything that I have by acknowledging it,
be by feeling humbled that everything I have is from Hashem, and we learn to think that way in Shar HaKaniyah, which is the next Shar. You have to Shar Yichud HaMaisa, I believe it's the very next one, Shar HaKaniyah, where we learn how to submit to Hashem, just feel lowly, actually, something that superficially seems very psychologically against what we all learn and are taught about self-esteem. Because a lot of us wants us to have zero self-esteem. The difference is that I didn't finish the sentence. He wants us to have zero self-esteem vis-a-vis Hashem. And that's what he talks about in Shar HaKaniyah. But someone who doesn't have any concept of Hashem, so when he does even mitzvahs, so he's doing it because of various side reasons, like I said, social pressures and the like. But Ovid Bnei Adam, he's serving people. Below Habori also. If you have no idea of Hashem, if he's not real to you, then you're not serving him. Below Makar and Yano, you have no idea. It's just a word to you. Just like a kid, you know, we see our kids, Hashem, Hashem. We become like children. Now he says as follows: what led to Avodah Zorah is lack of knowledge of Hashem. And if you know the Rambam, it was the theological or philosophical mistake of thinking that Hashem will not involve himself, does not involve himself in this very Kashmiristic, Chumriistic, dirty world. He's too sublime. Hashem is too sublime to care about or to control, right? If I burn supper, Hashem is everywhere. Hashem is everything, and because Hashem has better things to do than to decide. I'm saying in a very simplistic way, and it sounds stupid, but it was obviously a very well thought out, compelling theology, and it caught up the whole world till Avraham Avinu came along and said, "No, stop! You're missing it. You're all missing the boat. You're all missing the point." But it got caught up. It made a lot of sense. It was very rational. Hashem's has better things to do, so to speak, than to decide if it should rain or not. So there's a god of rain, and there's a god of parnosa, and a god of wheat, and a god of this, and a god of that. That's how Avodah Zorah developed. It started on an even more sophisticated level, that Hashem sends forces to do his will, and then they started worshipping the forces. It would be like if we would worship a malach, right? If we would agree that there's something called a malach through which Hashem channels his will, but they made some mistake that the malach has some sort of independent existence, because or else it has no pshat to worship a malach. You're not going to worship something that has no independent existence. Doesn't make any sense. You're going to worship the Mishaleach, the person that sent him. So they started worshiping Malachim, meaning, Malach is also an entity, something. And that led, so not knowing Hashem, making a basic fundamental error about the nature of Hashem led to Avodah Zorah, which is the biggest Avera, right? So you have to know Hashem. Yes, Hashem does get involved in this and that and the other thing. And Hashem does care about you. And you go back to maybe Perek Beis of Shara Bitochon or Perek Gimel, and you say, yeah, Hashem does love me, and Hashem is involved in my life, and Hashem cares about me, and Hashem maneuvers and controls every single thing that happens to me. And this is part of knowing who Hashem is. Then you do the Yud Gimel Midos Arachamim. How much does Hashem love me? Let me count the ways. Hashem, Hashem, Kel, Rachum, V'chanun, Erech, Apayim, V'rav, Chesed, V'yemes, Nosa, Chesed, L'alofim, Nosa, Yavon, V'fesha, V'chata, O, V'nakei. 13 ways.
And now the Chavis HaLodah says a very startling sentence. And he says, and you know something? He says, an Ovid Avodah Zorah is in better shape than someone who does things because his neighbor's looking at him. Now, before you go give skila to the person that does things because the neighbor's looking at them, let me hasten to say that, of course, in terms of an Avera, Avodah Zorah is worse. And if you have to choose, right, you say, you know, what's the difference between an elephant and a container of milk? You don't know, so I'm not going to send you to the store for a container of milk. So, what's the difference between an Ovid Avodah Zorah and what the Chavis HaLodah calls a chonef, someone that's just being frum because he's looking over his shoulder, what the neighbor's going to say, and what the school's going to say, and what the shatchan's going to say, and, you know, so say, what? I don't know the difference. Well, if you don't know the difference, I better teach you. Don't choose Avodah Zorah. Even though the Chavis HaLodah is talking conceptually, we have to be a little sophisticated. He's talking conceptually, the Ovid Avodah Zorah is in a better place than someone who is doing things with ulterior motives, who's essentially serving, self-serving. The Ovid Avodah Zorah is in a better place than a self-serving person whose whole life is made up of, to take it to the nth degree, whose life is made up of what's in it for me and what will I gain out of this. And he might not be thinking that sentence as a conscious thought sentence, what's in it for me, but his whole life and his, all his actions and everything he does is essentially that, even when he's being frum. So the Ovid Avodah Zorah is better, he says. In fact, v'yeshi soron la'ovid kochavim alachonev barbo dvorim, in four ways. Echad mehem ki ovid kochavim bisman hazeh she'ein chazon. First of all, if you're talking about nowadays, and I would include in this all what we call other religions, but nowadays there's no Navi and there's no Nisim, and you know, he could be making an honest mistake. Ain't no muzer al yedei Navi sheyavarer etzlo hefsed machshavto ba'oso subolsin. Now, whether or not the goyim will be punished for not believing in Hashem, or whether Christianity is Avodah Zorah or not, that's not the point, and we don't have to worry about it. Hashem will judge him, and Hashem knows. But all this is not talking about any particular guy. He's talking conceptually. He says, the goyim, you know, they might not know any better. They grow up, this is what they're taught, no one ever told them differently, and they're, so they sincerely believe what they believe. There's sincerity there, and they have no proof. No one ever sat down with them and told them that they're wrong, and no one ever proved, certainly no one ever brought them raias that they're wrong. Aval hamachnif b'toras u'elokim, but someone who follows Torah and does mitzvahs, but he does it machnif, he does it because of, as I said, social pressures. He doesn't have a thought of Hashem in mind. He's doing it for all the wrong reasons. Yesh olav taina, on him you can have a taina, because he is doing the mitzvahs. And the mitzvahs say, uli avdo b'chol levavchem v'chol nafshechem. And we say every day, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, and we ohavto es Hashem Elokecha. He can't say, no one ever told me. He can say, I didn't come to Rebbe Milanovich's Wednesday's class. What do you want from me? Now, it's a good kasha. I admit, I agree. It's a very good question. But you see in the Chavis HaLodah that it's not a good enough excuse. And now we can feel better about all the people that are not here. It's not an excuse. You're doing the mitzvahs, just... So you say, well, I didn't know. It's true. I mean, you know, that's up to Hashem to judge each individual if they should have done better. But his point is, it says it in the Torah. It says, V'yohavdo es Hashem Elokecha. And it says, U'liovdo b'chol levavchem. And if you open a sefer Dvorim, like it's one big Musa sefer about loving Hashem, serving Hashem, how you deal with Hashem. Dvorim, okay, there's one part that's full of mitzvahs. But the Dvorim, Voschanan, Ekev, and half of Re'eh, up till Chamishi, it's all Hashem, Hashem, Hashem. And then you get to Nitzavim Vayelech, Hazinu, Again, it's all Hashem. Like, so I turn around and I put on tefillin. You know, it says, you know, k'shartam li'os al yodecha, k'shartam what? The Yetzias Mitzrayim and Hashem and Hashem. What we say, Hashem can do anything, and that's what Yetzias Mitzrayim showed. And I put on tefillin because I'm embarrassed to be missing from shul. You know, that's. I can't say no one ever told me. There's a mitzvah. That's what the mitzvah is. You're doing the mitzvahs. You're doing the Torah. Open the Torah and look. And he's not serving Hashem. And he's not supposed to, you know, in effect, he's serving someone else. The Chavis is Merames here, hints at almost as if we can call the Machnif an Oved Avodah Zorah, who should know better. He's serving someone else. He's not serving Hashem. We don't know who he's serving. He's serving himself, which is called self-serving. And maybe he's serving his neighbor, or he's not serving Hashem. So that's number one. Number one is that the Oved Avodah Zorah perhaps doesn't know better, and no one ever taught him. And we have a Torah, and you open the Torah, and you look, and you're doing the Torah. So doing the Torah in a corrupted way, he's talking conceptually. Doing the Torah in a corrupted way is, from a certain perspective, worse than an Oved Avodah Zorah. Again, a sophisticated olam here. Nobody's going to run out now and do Avodah Zorah because I'm not. I realize I don't have Yichud HaMaisa, so according to the Chayim Salvavus, I'm supposed to do Avodah Zorah. Well, obviously not. Think about it. You know, it's worse. It should make us sit up and think to work on this midah, because this be look what he's saying. Bahasheni number two is Avod ki Oved Gachavim Oved Mi She'ena Mamre Mi She'ena Mamre Yisalokim. The Oved Avodah Zorah doesn't worship the devil. They're not devil worshippers. He's not talking about that. They don't worship the devil who's in a fight with Hashem, with the higher Hashem, the Hashem that's up there. So he's Oved his Mesharsim. He's you're not allowed to, and you get Misa and Kores, but he's on the road to Hashem. His heart's in the right, maybe his heart's in the right place. He doesn't know what he's doing, he doesn't realize it, but his heart's in the right place. He wants to serve Hashem. But the Chonef, he serves Oved Misha Mamri Salakim, Umishena Mamri also. We see people do things to curry favor with people who are very far from being Oved Hashem. People who are Misnagdim to Hashem. And we want to curry favor with them. We want them to like us, and it's very important to us that they should hold of us. And we do things, maybe not, we do things so that we find favor in their eyes, and like we end up worshiping people who are Mamrim Belokim. And so that's number two, why we're worse off.